You know that God always renews. He always makes things new. And the Bible even tells us to renew our minds, to think differently. And that's the only way to change your life, really, is to change your thinking. Yes. Sometimes that's a little uncomfortable. You know, we have to be able to change the way we think if we want to change the way we, if we want to change our lives. The place to start is in your thinking. Think differently about things. You know, we get so settled into a pattern of thinking that sometimes it's hard to get out of that. But it's possible. It's possible if we put the Word of God into our minds, we begin to change the way we think about things. God sees things very different from the way we do. And that's why He gave us the Bible, the Word of God, so that we can see how God thinks about things. Well, Ephesians chapter 2, and I just want to work through some of these verses this morning. You know, if you ever end up on an island alone without anybody and without anything, if there's one book you can take with you, it should be the book of Ephesians. It's such a wonderful book. There's so much in here that we can spend years and years and years on this. The depth of it is absolutely astounding. Let's read from verse 1. And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Do you know that when we were all born from a fallen man, every one of us. And that's our problem. The fact that we were all born from a fallen man. You know, it doesn't help to try to be good because you can never be good enough. I don't want to discourage anybody. But if you try to make it with God just on merit, then I just want to tell you, don't even try. Because you won't make it. God reached out to us and He gave us a gift that we didn't earn. He gave us something that we didn't work for. He just blessed us. Why would He do that? Because He loved us. He went after us while we were still sinners, tracked us down and brought us into His family and just showers His blessings upon us. And so verse 1 here, it says, and you He made alive who were dead in trespasses. Were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, you know, He's talking about spiritual death. Now, you know, to be spiritually dead means to be cut off from God. Here in chapter 1 it says, being alienated from the life of God. Alienated from the life of God. God's the source of life. And if we cut off from the source of life, then you're dead, spiritually. While the body may be alive, spiritually you're dead. And there's no communication possible or nothing with God, spiritually. But He says, but He made us alive. Us who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. Just like everybody else, just doing what everybody else does. Isn't it amazing when you talk with people about certain things, they say, well, everybody does that. Everybody does that. It must be good, but everybody does that. No, it says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. Just doing what everybody else does. According to the prince of the power of the air. That's the devil. That's the devil. Just doing what the devil wants. Just doing what the devil wants. Just receiving his thoughts and then doing what he suggests. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. See, that was the first sin was disobedience to God. When Adam sinned, he disobeyed God. And that is the big sin today, is disobedience to God. That's a big sin. That's a big sin. When God tells you certain things, especially if you read the Bible and you figure out, well, this is what God wants us to do, and you refuse to do that, well, then you're disobedient. You're disobedient to God. That's a grave sin. I won't encourage anybody to step into that. Just you know, if there's any disobedience, just get out of that. That would be the smartest thing to do. Just get out of that. Don't be disobedient to God. You know, it's amazing how sometimes we want the God that we offend to help us. It's a little crazy to think about that, you know, but that's the way it often is. Verse 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh. Just doing what the flesh wants. And boy, Paul says there's some nasty things in the flesh, you know, what the body wants. There are some nasty things there. I don't want to go into that, but you read Galatians chapter 5, you'll see some of that. That's a long list of things that we ought not to be into at all. It says, but we lived according to the lust of the flesh. Just did what the flesh wants. And with no regards to the spirit man that's inside of us. You know that you're a spirit, first of all, and you live in a body. And so when that body comes with its cravings and its demands and its comforts and so on, it will lead you into disobedience right away. You can never follow the flesh. You can never trust the flesh. You trust the flesh, that's what you get into. Verse 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others, by nature, children of wrath. That's what disobedience brings, the wrath of God. The wrath of God comes on disobedience. But God, thank God for that. Let's all say, but God. That's where the whole thing changes. This is where bad news turns into good news. You know, it's a gloomy picture when you read about the disobedience and what the flesh will do to you and lead you away from God and all of that. And suddenly, but God. I don't know about you, but there was a day when I was just doing all of that. I was just into all of that. And thought it was okay because everybody else does that. And I didn't want to stand out. You don't want to be odd. And so I was just doing what everybody else did. But God showed up. And oh boy, it was that a day that I can never forget. When suddenly I realized I'm in the presence of God. It was looking back. It was one of the most glorious experiences I ever had. While I was in it, I didn't think I would come out of it alive. It was just a moment of conviction, of convicting me of my disobedience, and just living for the flesh and doing what the flesh wants and just pleasing everybody around me, except God, of course. And that was quite a moment. But today I look back, and that was in 1969. 1969, it was in January 1969. Until this day, I never had one reason to go back to that, of before that but God moment. Never had a good reason to even consider going back. Except to say, thank God I'm out of that. Thank God I don't have to wake up in the morning and feel that pressure on me, that guilt pressing down on me, the weight of sin and disobedience pressing down on me. And all of that was gone. but God. It says here, who is rich in mercy, but God, who is rich in mercy. Now, you know, there are two things that we receive from God, grace and mercy. Without that, we'll never make it. Grace, and we'll touch on that in a minute, is to receive what we don't deserve. That's grace. Mercy is not to receive what we do deserve. And I thank God for both. I don't want to be missing any of the two of them. I need both. Every day I need both. I need the grace and I need the mercy. Thank God for His grace. Somebody says there's an acronym in grace. It is God's riches at Christ's expense. Just the goodness of God, unmerited favor that we didn't work for, we didn't earn. We don't deserve any of that. It is just God's goodness because He cares about us and because He loves us. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, even then, God loved us, made us alive together with Christ. I wonder if we can even understand the depth of that. Made us alive together with Christ. What does that even mean? Well, what it means was, when Jesus went to the cross, all the sin that everybody on the planet ever did was on Him. He died as a sinner and paid the price for that. He got the death penalty for that. Not his sin, but yours and mine. And He got the death penalty. He was executed for that. And He died and paid the price, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. You got to die. But He took the death penalty on our behalf, so we don't have to. And when He completed that, God raised Him up from the dead. But He was not alone. You and I, who were dead in trespasses, God raised us up as well. Amen. And it says, and raised us up together. That word together is such a powerful word. And raised us up together. And made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, most Christians don't even know that. Most Christians don't understand that. But let me tell you, God placed you, He positioned you in a high and a glorious place. And He doesn't say, and He will raise us up together, and will make us sit together. No, He said, He raised us up together, past tense, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That word together means we become one with Him. Like the branches and the vine are one, we become one with Him. And therefore, in Christ Jesus, we've been made alive together with Him. When He died, we were dead. When He was made alive, we were made alive together with Him. When God raised Him up to go sit in heavenly places, because we're in Him, positionally, that's where you are. That's where you are. Well, we can spend the whole morning talking about that, but I think just on the surface very quickly, don't look up to your problems. Look down from where He placed you. Don't look up to the mountains of troubles that surround you, because you're higher. You're seated in heavenly places. You look down on that. Verse 7. that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. The exceeding riches of his grace. In his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. That he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. In his kindness toward us. Can we understand this morning that God wants to show his grace and he can only do it through you? There's no other way he can do it. There's no other way God can show what he has done except through you. You're a walking miracle. Do you know that? You're a walking... People look for those who have hope. It's getting darker out there in the world, especially if you follow the news a little bit, then you'll know. It's getting darker by the day, and people are looking for those who have hope. And God wants to show the riches of his grace in his kindness to you. Well, that tells us we're not children of wrath anymore. We are now children of his grace and of his kindness. Don't you look at God as a God of wrath. You look at God as a God of grace and mercy and kindness toward you. Because you bowed the knee before Christ. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved. By grace you've been saved. You didn't earn any of that. For by grace you have been saved through faith. All you have to do is believe it. That's all you got to do. Believe it. That's all you have to do. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to earn any of that. You don't have to try to be good and think God will accept that as merit. Forget about it. It is his grace. For by grace you have been saved. Through faith. Which means you didn't work for it. And Apostle Paul talks about this very extensively in all of the book of Romans and the book of Galatians and the book of Hebrews. Three books, three entire books in the New Testament focus on this one thing. We did not earn anything from God through works of the law or things we had to do. We receive it purely as a gift of God's grace and his goodness and his kindness toward us. That's all. And you receive it by faith. Now, when the enemy comes against you and he begins to stack circumstances up against you, don't you even think that God is angry with you. That God puts that stuff on you. Too often, God gets the blame for what the devil does. Don't you blame God for what the devil is doing. When the devil comes against you with whatever he attacks you with, then you say to yourself, God wants to show his exceeding grace through me. And we'll beat this thing. But when you look at that circumstance, you look at that problem and you say, I'm stuck. I can't get out of this. It'll be according to your faith also. But when you say, God's going to get me out of this because he's a kind God. He's merciful and he's gracious. And I will come out of this thing. Then you will. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's a gift. For we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship. Now you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes we make things. I sometimes make things. And ever so often, I make a mistake. Or I make a total failure. But God's workmanship, He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't make failures. When we look at ourselves and we say, I am God's workmanship, you have to understand that God did not make a mistake when He made you. He did not make a mistake and He did not make a failure. So if you fail, don't you blame God for that. Right? If you fail, you cannot put that on God, because God, you are His workmanship and God makes no failures. Amen. Amen. That means you can win in life. You can win. And big. Because remember, God wants to show His exceeding grace through you and toward you. Now you got to believe it. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now, we don't do good works to be saved. We do good works because we're saved. Yes. You can't earn anything with good works. But we do good works because we're saved. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I tell you, this is one of the richest verses. That God created beforehand, or prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Do you know that God has a purpose for every one of us? And that purpose is not to survive and die. You know, try and make ends meet and then die. Oh, God has a purpose for you that's much bigger than that. God has a purpose for you that's much bigger than you. And you can only walk it out when you walk with Him. You can't do it on your own. You got to walk with Him. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You know, when you read the book of Ephesians, one of the themes that runs like a thread through this whole book is identity. Identity. Every one of us need an identity. We identify ourselves somehow. There's something that we use to identify ourselves. For some people it's their career, for some people it's their faith, for some people it's their family, for some people it's their business. Everybody, it's their culture, their language, whatever. But we use things to identify ourselves with. Do you know, when you need somebody for the first time, the first thing they try to do is to identify you. Who am I talking to here? Where do you come from? What do? All of that. They try to put a label on you. I usually try to get out of that. I don't want people to put labels on me. Put me in a box. We don't fit into a box. God made us to fit into Christ. Not a box that people make. Come on, when you identify yourself with something like that, you're limited. But when you identify with Him, you're unlimited in what you can do. Things can change tomorrow. Yes. I think we should wait a while and let it sink in a little bit. We identify, and as we study the book of Ephesians, this book is all about identity. It is telling us who we have become in Christ. You know, the devil is a deceiver. When he came to Adam and Eve, he deceived them. And the thing he deceived them with is identity. He said to her, if you eat of this fruit, you will be like God. The problem was, they were like God because he made them in his image. But they forgot who they were. And if we forget who we are, then we are open to deception. And you will be given an identity by somebody that you try to live up to, but that will not be the purpose that God made you for. Come on now, we need to get this right. You can't the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. That means you're getting a new identity. Now you need to find out who this new me is. Where do I find that out? You'll find a lot about that in the book of Ephesians. It will tell you. It will tell you who you are, what you have, where you're going, what you do. It will tell you everything about who you really, really are in Christ. Now that you've become a new creation, you have to let go of the past. Yes. As long as you hold on to the past and your past experiences and your past accomplishments and past identity, you will never be able to break away from that. We need to snap out of cultural thinking. We have to adapt to the kingdom culture, God's culture. It's part of our new identity. Verse 11. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, that's your old identity, people without God. Once you were without God. Remember that. Who are called uncircumcision, that's the Jews, by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. The Jews told the Gentiles, you have no business with God. God has no interest in you. At that verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Alien. That's identity. He's talking about identity. You were aliens. You were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. He's talking about the rich spiritual inheritance of Israel, God's people. You were alienated from that. You had no business in that. And strangers from the covenants of promise. There were no promises that God made to you. You were without hope. Having no hope and without God in the world. He says, that's who you were. That's your old identity. Remember that. That's your old identity. But now, there's another but now. Let me tell you something. I think everybody should look up to me. Most Christians have not had this but now moment. But now. In Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So many Christians still think they're far from God. They're far from God. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off, part of your old identity, have been brought near, new identity, by the blood of Christ. Now, you used to wake up in the morning, you were thinking, I'm far from God, God doesn't like me, doesn't care about me, God's angry with me, all of that. We were walking on the streets of Toronto a few years ago, and somebody took a piece of chalk and every few feet wrote on the sidewalk, God must be angry with me. We took a picture of that. We thought, God, this somebody needs you around here. But he was just writing what some people think. If you have bowed the knee to Christ, then you who once were far off have come near through the blood of Christ, then you are not far from him anymore. Verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one, talking about the Jews and the Gentiles, and has broken down the middle wall of separation. We were separated from the Jews. They had promises. The Gentiles had no promises. There was a wall in between. Verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body, that's the church, through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. There's no enmity anymore. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, when you were out there running away from God, you had no access to God. But now you do. Identity. Identity. I am someone who has access to God. Well, if that doesn't change the way you think, I have access to God. Through the Spirit, I have access to God. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Now, you don't have to wait till somebody declares you a saint, because God already did. God's the one that makes sainthood, not man. And the only way you can become a saint is through the blood of Christ. And once you accepted him, that's what the Bible calls you. The Bible calls you a saint. Well, that's a new identity. That's new. You don't have to pray to a saint. You're a saint yourself. Verse 19 again, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. I love that phrase. We're members of the household of God. Do you know? There's only one way you can become family of somebody else. You've got to be born in there. Now, when we accepted Christ, the Bible says we were born again. You died to your old identity, and you were born into a new identity. You become a new creation in Christ. All things have passed away, and you were born into the household of God. Well, then you get a new family name. No wonder the Bible says they call those who believe Christians. They got Christ's name. We're Christians because we are in the family of Christ. And members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, well, that's their teaching. It's not their person. Don't think that you have to have an apostle or a prophet in your life that you can build on. No, you built on what they taught, what they wrote down for us from revelation from God. You built your spiritual life on that. That's what that means. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. That's the church. in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. A dwelling place of God in the Spirit. It's talking about the church. The church, the name church really means the called out ones. People that were called out of the old life, where they just lived for themselves, where they're obsessed with themselves and what they can get and what they can do and how they can enjoy themselves with the stuff of the world. They were called out of that. That's the church. Church is not a building. Church is not the name of a congregation like ours. Church is the called out ones that come together. That's the church. And now we have a new identity. I was running around as we started reading in the first verses of chapter 2, just doing what the flesh wanted, just doing what the devil put into my mind, just doing all of that stuff. But now I'm part of the called out ones. Amen. I have a new identity. I'm not part of that club anymore. I'm part of the household of God now. I'm born into a new family. And I have a new identity. And now as I go through this book and I study, I find out who I really am, what I have in him, and what I can do. It's a brand new life. It's a brand new life. And I begin to change the way I think about myself. I begin to change the way I think about the world. I change the way I think about God. I change the way I think about my fellow believers. I change the way I think about everything because I'm a new person now. I'm a totally brand new person and I have a new life to live. I'm no longer a stranger. I'm no longer a foreigner. I was brought near by the blood of Christ and into the household of God. I have access to God through the Spirit. I'm a new creation. Thank God, all things have passed away. And everything has become new. And you know, don't think it stops there. Even if you've been a Christian for 50 years, God still wants to do new things in you. And wants to do new things through you. It's a process that never stops. It's continually a continual renewal, day after day after day. Apostle Paul talks about that. He says, even if our outward body grows old and dies eventually, inwardly, says, we are being renewed day by day by day. I become new and strong and energized. I am the workmanship of God. I have a purpose to live for. And a purpose to die for. I have a reason to live. And I have hope. I have hope. I don't look at the grave as a place of separation. I look at the grave as a door to being with him. Because I have hope. It's a new way of thinking. And God wants to make everything new for every one of us. And don't get to a place where you stagnate. Just move on because God wants to show his kindness and his grace through you. As he brings you into a quality of life that the world cannot copy. Everything is made new. Let's close your eyes for a minute. I just want to pray with us. You know, sometimes when the Word of God comes to us, we need to consider it. We need to consider what has come to us. Because God's speaking to us. Speaking to us. We've got to do something with it. And this morning, I just want to pray with some of us. If you have never come to that place where you said, I'm tired of myself. I'm tired of this life that I'm living. I want a new life. If you've never accepted Christ into your life, then this morning, that can happen. And all you need to do is open your heart and receive him. Just welcome him in. Just welcome him in. And let him begin this journey with you. If you've never done that before, and while every eye is closed and nobody's looking around, I just want to quickly slip up your hand and I just want to pray with you. We're not putting anybody on the spot here. But this is a moment that we cannot forget. Apostle Paul says, remember that you were Gentiles once. But now you have become the household of God. And if you've never made that decision, this morning there's an invitation to say, I want that. If that's you, just quickly slip up your hand. All I'm going to do is I'm going to pray with you. That's all I'm going to do. And I know the Holy Spirit is knocking at some hearts, knocking at the door of the heart this morning with an invitation. Why didn't you come? Why didn't you come? Why didn't you come? Father, I thank you for the word that comes to us and reveals your love for us, your goodness, your kindness, showing us who we can become in you. And thank you, Lord, for the good news of the gospel. It is good news. And I pray for every one of us here this morning that nobody will come on that final day and find out, I never took possession of that gift. I never took that gift. I never received it. But every one of us will say, that day changed my whole life. I walk in confidence, eternity, into eternity with confidence. Holy Spirit, will you continue to knock at the door of every heart, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen.